With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm your host Ben, and coming up in this week's show, we're going to be talking to Paul Phillips, one half of the new management team at Buxton. We're also going to be discussing Sutton Coldfield with their manager Neil Tooth. We're also going to be hearing from the managers at Lincoln United and Ossett Albion. And later in the show, we'll have a full fixture preview with North East football journalist Mark Carruthers. All of that and loads more on this week's EvoStick NPL show. Welcome. So hello everybody and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm your host Ben, and down the other end of the phone now, we're now joined by James Hayes from the league. Hello James, how are you?
Evening Ben, how are you doing tonight?
I'm all good, a bit flustered, but I'm all good. Just to let everyone know what's coming up in this week's show, myself and James are going to walk through all the results from the past 7 days or so. In all three divisions of the Northern Premier League, because there's been some intriguing results, to say the least, in the last 7 or so days. And we've also got, coming up on this week's show, some post-match reaction from Lee Andrews at Workington. We've got Tommy Lawson from Marine coming on. We're also going to be hearing from Andy Welsh at Ossett Albion. We've also got Neil Tooth coming on from Sutton Coldfield. Sam Wilkinson's coming on from Lincoln United. We're going to have a full fixture preview with the wonderful Mark Carruthers from the North East Football Podcast. And we've got one half of the new management duo at Buxton, Paul Phillips, will be coming on. That's right, dear listener. So, James, where do you want to start? Should we start at the top?
We might as well do, yes.
Yes, okay. As always. last week on the monthly NPL show, James included, I'm pretty sure this was the case, I made the comment, you know, it's Altrincham, you know, they're miles clear, but don't take a couple of results going the other way and suddenly the pressure's on, and you've said about Charlie a few years ago and everyone around the table went, no, never going to happen. Well, on Tuesday night, Altrincham 2, Workington 3. Now, the only reason why it's not going to happen is because Warrington Town and Stafford Rangers drew 0-0 on the same evening. But that's a good result for Workington, James.
It is indeed. I mean, fantastic result just to keep him in the playoff race. Well, try and get back into the playoff race. They have got a very, very tough next couple of weeks. Obviously, they have got a couple of free match a week games at this moment in time because of their FA Trophy run. It's still all possession on Altrincham, but again, it all opens the gap up for Shaw Lane to come back in because of their last couple of postponements. They've now got the games in hand to potentially have a run for the title. And this is where, when we said last week about Charlie, it's starting to look very, very similar now.
Now, we'll talk about Charlie in a second, but they were scheduled, we're recording this on Thursday evening, and they were scheduled to play this evening, and yet again, they've had another game postponed. They were playing every other night, it looked like, anyway, but it is starting to look like a real problem, and we'll catch up with Paul Quinn in the next couple of weeks or so, but it's the games are starting to mount up, but Altrincham there losing midweek to Workington. I should say, Workington did get beat at the weekend. Workington 3, Stalybridge 4. More on Stalybridge later. But for Workington, as you said, it just gives them a little... It just reignites the candle slightly for the playoffs. And after that win against Altrincham midweek, Lee Andrews caught up with BBC Cumbria's John Walsh.
Well, Lee, absolutely brilliant. It's a long time. This year, 2018, first win. And to achieve it at the league leaders in that manner was brilliant.
I think so. I think obviously it's jubilant in the dressing room at the moment. But I've said, once everyone calmed down, I think 3-2 probably flattered them a little bit tonight. I think we could have been 3-0 up at half time. The keeper's made a great save from Sam Joel. Then we missed the penalty. So it could have easily been 4-0 and game over. But the response from the lads to when they got it back to 2-2 to dig in, see through that little spell of pressure through, and then to go to the other end and get another goal. So it's fantastic, and it shows the character of the lads that we've got in the dressing room that they can do that. And the frustrating thing, probably from not just a managing point of view, from the players as well, is we know we can do that week in, week out, and probably the last 5 or 6 weeks we've dropped below the standard we've set there tonight. So now we've got to go forward and make sure we keep on playing at that standard, and I'm sure if we do that, we'll give it a right good go and get close to the playoffs as well.
We were just discussing at the end there, right at the end, who would be man of the match, and I think it reflects on the performance that we couldn't single anybody out. There were so many good performances throughout the side.
That's it. I think it would be unfair to pick anybody out. Aaron's had a good solid game at the back, in goals there. The back four was superb. speaking to Steve on the way up there, 18 corners we defended as a team, and to be fair, they didn't really threaten us on them corners. We defended them well. The midfield five worked so hard. Jamie Mellons came in, he's been patient all season. The work that he got through tonight was superb. So you've got Scotty Allison, who takes his two goals. He should have had a hat-trick, I'll say that himself, his penalty. And Stephen Riggs came in and just settled in into the team. And I was saying, probably since last time when Joe Masfarlane made his debut at Altrincham, I probably haven't seen a player come into this level and have such an impact straight away. I thought Riggy was superb. He was positive in everything he'd done. His first took him forward, and it creates things for us going forward, and his forward runs as well. It takes the pressure off Scotty a little bit because he knows he's got somebody up there that's going to make them forward runs for him.
The way the lads play tonight, does that give you a problem about picking the team for Saturday?
It does, yeah, because we've got a couple of lads coming back. We've got Tinners coming back in. We've got Sam Smith coming back in. Maybe Halty might be with us. So, yeah, it gives us a problem, but it's a nice problem to have this time yesterday when I was struggling for players. So it's a nice problem to have. We've probably lost Sam Joel now. He cramped up there, but we think it might be a little bit more than cramped. He might have pulled his calf, so it would be unfortunate if it is, because of that tonight. He showed a different side of his game, Sam. He was disciplined in everything he'd done, and he'd done the ugly side of the game for us tonight, and he'd done it well.
Does that interrupt your searching for players?
No, I think we're always on the lookout. We've still got 7 days in for a player, so we'll wait until Friday, and we'll hopefully speak to that player and see if we can persuade him to come and join us, and hopefully push on to getting the playoffs this season.
Lee, well done. Great tonight, Tom.
Cheers, thanks.
So John Walsh there speaking with one half of the management duo at Workington. That was Lee Andrews. And you could sense the frustration of Workington management there. The last couple of months, it's just not clicked for them. But that could be the catalyst there to see Workington go on a bit of a run towards the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, one thing to keep in mind is that they've still actually got a cup run going at this moment in time in the Integral. They play the winners of the tie taking place tonight between South Shields and Cleef Arts, which another game has been going on for quite a while. So a similar situation, if they've got to go for the playoff run, they've got to keep that stamina going now. Because again, they've got a couple of first night games coming up, and they're not easy ones if you remember off the top of my head. So everyone was starting to write Workington off last month, including myself. That result's just opened them right up, but they've still got a lot of work to do to make sure they get in the top five.
So the gap at the moment is Altrincham up at the top, played 33 games there on 70 points. And then a bit further back now, Warrington Town, only 6 points behind Altrincham. And I say only 6 points behind because, you know, it's that nervous time of the season. We mentioned the 0-0 draw midweek between Stafford Rangers and Warrington Town. That was the follow-up to Warrington Town beating Barwell by 2-0. Big game, that one. I don't think it necessarily knocks Barwell out of the playoffs because someone had to drop points in that game, and it was always going to be a tough one away from home for Barwell.
Yeah, it was going to, and I think everyone was saying it was going to come to that point where if Barwell do lose the game, it's going to get tough to come back into it. I need to, even though I've been shouting him for the last couple of weeks now, as well as yourself, I think the number of games they've played now is going to start playing a factor into that. 4 points behind Barnsley at this moment in time, and the team's low with more games to play.
And we should also mention Ashton United at this point as well, because the door was left ajar with that Workington win against Altrincham for Ashton United as well. On Saturday, Ashton United did have a good result, a 3-0 home win against Halesow in town. But then midweek, Ashton United won, Colville Town 2. Great result there for Colville Town, but a slip-up for Ashton United, and that sees them probably out of the title race now. It seems remarkable that we're saying that. But the 12 points now from league leaders Altrincham. I suppose the main focus has always been for Jody Banham's side, though, to stay in the playoffs. And they're now 3 points ahead of Grantham Town, and Grantham Town do have a game in hand. So it's a bit nervy.
Yeah, the main nerves, again, of Ashton is just to make sure they get in the playoffs at this moment in time. Preferably with home advantage in the semi-final, but if it came to it, I think the playoffs would be more than happy with Jody now. As you said there, it's now a three-horse race for the title. I think Ashton would be more than happy.
Now, Grantham Town did draw 0-0 on Tuesday evening. Again, it's you know, there was an opportunity to claw back some points on Ashton United there. 3 points the gap between Ashton United and Grantham Town. Grantham Town do have a game in hand. We should also add they're 2 points behind Farsley Celtic, and Grantham have 3 games in hand over Farsley Celtic. Farsley Celtic, they're still in the playoff positions, and they didn't play this past week. So that there you, that's what we were talking. That's what I was talking about last week about the fact, you know, they might have played more games than everyone else, but if everyone's stumbling, then they're not losing out, are they, Farsley Celtic? So it's been a good week for Farsley. Also, we should just mention Stafford Rangers 2, Lancaster City 2. That was a result on Saturday there at Marsden Road in front of a good healthy crowd of just over 400. And at this point, I'm going to switch it to the bottom end of the table and talk about Marine. We mentioned the Stalybridge Bridge result from Saturday, cracking result, 4-3 away from home. It's not seen Stalybridge Bridge out of the woods necessarily, but it's seen them 9 points clear of Sutton Coldfield now, and Stalybridge Celtic have 5 games in hand. For Marine, what a week it's been for Marine. Marine beat Hensford Town 2-0 on Saturday, and then midweek, Marine beat Lancaster City by 3-0. Let's hear now the post-match reaction from that 3-0 win against Lancaster City on Tuesday. Here's manager Tommy Lawson speaking to Marine TV.
Tom, just a couple of days ago we were celebrating a 2-0 win against Hensford, and tonight a 3-0 win over Lancaster. You must feel this team is really getting some momentum behind it now.
Yeah, we chose, well, we didn't choose it. What we said to the players was they earned the right to go again. We left the same starting 11. And the only change we made was on the bench because Martin had picked up a little bit of a niggle on his back, and we put Mendes on the bench as a precaution, basically. But yeah, I think the lads have gone out there with a real sense of purpose. You know, we were physical today. You know, we've altered our shape slightly. You know, we've put a more physical team together, and they look as if they want to play. They look as if they want to compete. And as you said, 2 clean sheets, you know, and we're really, really pleased with the way they've gone about their business today.
I was actually one of the Man of Match sponsors choosing Adam Hughes. I just overheard you say you thought Peter Wiley had a brilliant game as well.
I mean, Adam's done smashing, hasn't he? And you know, there's a lot of players we've said that have played well. But I think, I just said there, you know, I think Peter, for me, deserves a little bit more credit than he gets at times. And you know, as I say, he's had a standout game today, same as Josh Amos, another one he's done really, really well. But as I say, Peter for me was very, very good today, and sometimes he has them games and you know, he doesn't get the recognition for his performances, but today I felt he was really out there, you know.
You sound really happy with your squad. You mentioned last time around there's only a couple of weeks until sort of the deadline for getting new players in. Any movement on that at all?
Well, we never say never. At the end of the day, you know, it's always a possibility that you bring a player in if you get the right calibre of player. But, you know, we've got competition for places, as you can see. And, you know, on the basis of that, you know, we wouldn't mind going into the running with this group of players. They're very competitive, they're very committed to the club. And as I say, we feel as if they've put a couple of good performances. So they've got to build on that now. You know, there's somebody that wants their shirt. That bench of ours, again, was very, very strong, you know, very, very strong. And as I say, we could make changes at any time. I think the changes we did make, you know, it didn't alter the game, it didn't alter the shape of the team, and that's pleasing.
So a big thank you to Marine TV, that was Tommy Lawson there. And I'm going to suggest this now, based on what we said last week, James, that sees Marine 12 points clear of the relegation zone. I'm going to suggest at this stage of the season, James, that's job done.
I'm going to shadow that. I'm for both Stalybridge and Marine, I think that's both of them. Safe and sound now for the season. They also win Sutton Coldfield, 10 games left again. A bit of a mountain to go to. Every game for them now they've got to win, not just to get one over on each other, but even just to try and catch up to the rest of the pack at this moment in time.
Well, I was going to say, let's just talk about Sutton Coldfield Town. They've got a big weekend coming up, and on Thursday I caught up with Neil Toof. They've obviously got that home game against Michelover Sports. Also, we should say there's a charity game taking place in support of player Jamie Sheldon, who unfortunately got diagnosed with cancer earlier in the season. And there's a charity match taking place on Sunday between Sutton Coldfield Town's playoff winning squad from a couple of seasons ago and Stratford Town's playoff winning squad. That's taking place on Sunday. So a big weekend at Sutton Coldfield. And on Thursday, I caught up with manager at the Royals. Here's Neil Tooth. A big thank you for joining us, Neil, and welcome back to the show. We'll get to matters on the pitch shortly, but we should start off with the charity game this Sunday because it's a beautiful thing that's going on at the club this week. Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, we're organising a game for Jamie Sheldon, who was a player and part of the squad that got Sutton Coldfield promoted a few seasons back, and he was diagnosed with cancer a few months ago, and we just felt that we needed to do something, really. You know what I mean? Sheldon is a great lad. You know what I mean? A real nice lad. And I mean, with only being young, obviously got some financial burden, so we wanted to do a bit and see what we could see if we could just raise our initial target was just to raise a couple of grand for him, but it quickly became apparent that there was a lot of people that wanted to get involved and a lot of people that wanted to donate. So we started off with the idea of having a game. We set up a crowdfunding page, and that, as it stands, is up near £7,000, and we've got a couple of £1,000 worth of shirts and sporting memorabilia to auction. So the game itself on Sunday, obviously Sheld's played for us, and the other team that he played a lot of his football for was Stratford Town at Southern Prem. And so we thought, get those two teams together for a game. So it's going to be the Sutton Coldfield playoff winning side against the Stratford Town playoff winning side, followed by a Leamington All-Stars team against Jamie Sheldon All-Stars team. So we've had that many players, people, you know what I mean, friends of Jamie's that said they wanted to get involved and wanted to play. So we're now having two games. So we'll have 2 one-hour games and then a charity auction and a raffle and a bookie collection and all the other kind, anything we can do basically to get as much money as we can for him.
That's absolutely amazing, Neil. And just to say, we'll put the link up for the Just Giving page on the descriptions of this podcast. And this weekend's match, Sutton Coldfield Town against Stratford Town, Sunday, 2 o'clock kickoff at Coles Lane. And sounds like a cracking day as well. Loads of football. Are you going to be doing touchline duty or refereeing or anything?
I'll be managing, but it's an opportunity for me as well, because my little lad, my son's 7, and he doesn't want to be a footballer for some strange reason. He wants to be a football manager, so I've told him that this is going to be his first experience. So so I'll be there, but it'll be my son that'll be dictating things on Sunday with a little rehearsal in front of the Sutton chairman, because you never know, if he's better than me, he might get the gig full time.
Well, that's brilliant stuff. You do have to touch upon the league and this weekend's big matches. You've obviously come back into Sutton Coldfield Town. We've discussed it on the show numerous times this season. Sutton Coldfield have been dead and buried about 4 times this season, but they refuse to go away. What's the mood like in the camp going into the last few weeks of the season now?
It's good, and that's the main thing that we've done. You know what I mean? We can't hide behind the facts. We can't hide behind the results. You know what I mean? We're in the position that we're in, and table doesn't lie. So one of the things that we wanted to do, and I think one of the things that the chairman was keen to do, and that was part of getting myself and my team back in, was to get the atmosphere up and to get the lads playing with a smile on the face. And that's what we've done. We had a bit of a bounce when we came back in. We beat Workington, we beat Marine. We drew away at Stalybridge. And then that took us into a run of tough games where we played Warrington, followed by Altrincham, followed by Farsley. And, you know what I mean, they're teams that are sitting, I think, in the top four. And we were supposed to play Shore Lane last week. So the fixture list hasn't been kind in that respect. But we haven't been battered in any game. And I know before my time there was a lot when I sat down with the chairman. There was a lot of 4-0s, 5-0s, and there was conceding a lot of goals. And we hope that we've nipped that in the bud. You know what I mean? We've had to do a bit of wheeling and dealing in the loan market and just drag players from where we can, really, and get some new personnel in. But the atmosphere, the players, they're all up for it. We know we're in a battle. Every game's a massive game for us. It's the old cliches, but we think it's probably going to go to the last game of the season. If it doesn't, and if we can get out of it before then brilliant. But we know that we're in a dogfight until that last game of the season. And what I've been trying to get across to the players is they've got to have the mentality. So as well as having the talent on the pitch, they've got to have the mentality to go to go with that battle, and hopefully I think we've got a good mix of that.
Like you said, the last run of games, it's been very, very tough, and we had Richard Impey on from Altrincham a couple of weeks ago, and he was saying that that Sutton Coldfield team, it's amazing where they are in the league, because they gave Alti a fright that game, and I think that bodes well going into this weekend's game against Michelover Sports. Home form's been one of them things that Sutton Coldfield can rely upon over years gone by. This is a very important game, this one, isn't it?
Yeah, they all are. I mean, at home, that's where we've got to look to pick up the majority of our points. Our last home game against Farsley was probably the first time since I've been back involved that I was a little bit disappointed with how we'd performed. You know, I mean, we were a little bit flat. I think the Farsley gaffer will probably tell you the same about his team. You know, it wasn't a spectacle by any means, but we're a little bit disappointed when we come off that, because those are games where if we're not doing well enough to win it, then we've got to make sure that we don't lose. And you know, I mean, we've got every point's precious for us, and with the goal difference that we've got, we know that we're not just 3 points behind, we're probably 4 points behind because of the goal difference, and maybe even six, you know what I mean, because we want to get a win to give us a bit of a buffer. But Michelover, a good team. Ted Gaffer, I still stand by. I think he's probably one of the best players in the league still. And they've got some good young lads that they've brought through their academy. We've always had tight games against them. We was in the South League with them, and then they went up and we followed them the year after. And so we've always had really tough, really close games with them. But we're at home. We've had a little bit of a break with the games being called off. So we'll go into it hopefully with a full squad, and with the attitude that we have been showing, I'm confident that we can put on a good performance, and that hopefully turns into a good result.
So a big thank you to Neil Tooth. Just a reminder that Just Giving page is available in the description to this podcast, and please do donate generously to Jamie Sheldon, and all the best to Sutton Coldfield and to Jamie for this coming weekend. We hope you break that £10,000 barrier. Now, James, it is a big weekend coming up, but I think that's nearly all the results from this past weekend. But we should mention the goings on at Buxton. We are going to be hearing from Paul Phillips in a second. Buxton 1, Stourbridge 1 was the Tuesday night results there from Silverlands. Obviously, Buxton haven't had a permanent manager since the departure of Martin McIntosh last month, but it has been announced this week that Paul Phillips and Steve Halford will be leaving Glossop North End and taking over at the Derbyshire club for this Saturday's match against Workington and beyond. And on Thursday, I caught up with Paul Phillips just to see what was going on. So a big thank you for joining us, Paul. And firstly, a big congratulations on the appointment for you and Steve at Buxton.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
So is your first game going to be this weekend against Workington?
Well, Tuesday, we getting the job on the Monday. Obviously, it was a bit of a rush, so relied very much on the club captain, Greg Young, so he picked the team in a way. Obviously, we monitored everything. So the first real proper game is going to be Saturday against Workington, yeah.
What was the temptation? Because obviously you've had a decent season with Glossop. What was the temptation for the Buxton job for yourself and Steve?
The temptation, to be fair, was it's a big club. We spoke to Dave, the chairman, and it was fantastic with everything. What their plans are for going forward are really, really good. Obviously, the 4G, the new academy, and various other things. And obviously, the biggest one for myself was we've been up a league, so at the end of it, really thank Glossop North and the board and the directors and the people behind the scenes, just to say, I know, listen, in football, moving away from a football club, never easy. Obviously, we've only been there a short time, but I'd like to thank them for all the help they've given. And I do hope that all the best for the future, and I think they've got the right man in Mark Canning to take them forward.
And the thing, you've touched upon it there, next season's plans for the club, if I can liken it to what Hyde United have done in the last couple of seasons, putting down the 3G pitch and bringing in more of a community aspect to the club, that is a big deal going forward at Buxton.
Yeah, it's a big thing. If we can involve them and get the spectators through the door and get people talking about the club on the town, it really does create a buzz, so I'm hoping that blueprint works, and I'm pretty sure that obviously the success Dave's had in business and how much he knows about football and the football club, I think that will work.
And obviously, this season, it's not quite clicked at Buxton. Is there a benefit for you coming in towards the end of the season now so you can look at what you've got when it comes to the squad and then plan ahead for next season? Is that a benefit to you, yeah, to yourself and Steve?
100%, because we looked around that changing room and on Tuesday evening and looked at the talent in there and people where they've been and what they've done in the game. It was quite humbling, because there's some very, very good players in there, and we told them in no uncertain terms that the reason why we're in there because they underachieved, and that's no slant on Macca and Tim. Obviously, they've done very good jobs in the previous years and we got on very well with them. But the 15th in the league, they've not won enough games. So for me, we want to look at the players, give them a chance. Obviously, we've signed a couple of players with the games that we've got coming up today in Judah Weeby and Callum Chippendale. So we're going to give everyone else a chance, and hopefully they can prove that they want to be a part of something going forward and be a part of our team in next season. So if that does happen, obviously we hope that we can build from within, but if it doesn't, then we have to look at bringing people in to that next level.
So Paul Phillips there, one half of the management duo at Buxton, Paul Phillips and Steve Halford. What do you make of that?
I think it's an interesting one there, because especially with Glossop still in the playoff race in the First Division North.
To be fair, it's like you just said, and it's like we've been saying about Buxton. The potential for Buxton next season with the 4G pitch, all the community sides coming in, we touched upon it in that interview there with Paul. There is a chance to mirror what Hyde United have successfully done. And I think that's what's enticed them there, I think.
If you're going to make a move like that, because again, Buxton, they're pretty much safe for the season now, barring some real freak results in the next couple of weeks. Obviously, did they have a chance of getting promoted with that sort of team? But again, they were not a million miles away from the playoffs. And again, with what's happened in the Division 1 North last week, in particular with the results from this weekend.
You mentioned freak results, and you mentioned some of the results from this past week. We are going to be hearing from the Lincoln United manager, Sam Wilkinson, very shortly, because Lincoln United, it looks like, are having a little late surge for the playoffs. So more on that in a second. But we do have to talk about results in Division 1 North. And just when I think I've got my head round the division, Drolsden draw 2-2 with Bamber Bridge, following that victory for Bamber Bridge against Scarborough at the weekend. And what about this result? Ossett Albion 2, Hyde United 0. What a result. We'll get your thoughts in a second, James. But on Tuesday evening, friend of the show, Luke Edwards from 26-0, he caught up with Ossett Albion's manager, Andy Welsh. So let's hear what he had to say after that 2-0 victory against Hyde.
So we're here at the Dimple Wells Stadium. We've just seen Ossett Albion beat Hyde United by 2-0. Here for the MPL show, and I'm with the manager of Ossett Albion, Andy Welsh. Andy, great victory for tonight against the league leaders.
Yeah, biggest thing for us, we haven't played back-to-back games in a while. It's been disappointing because, the squad that we've assembled now, we feel is a very, very good squad that we just want to get out playing. And it was nice to obviously get a game. And I think at this level, obviously people look at league leaders, positions that people are in the table, but I genuinely believe that the players that we've got here now are players that not only will keep us in the division, but players that can play and put on a performance like they have done tonight.
We said the first goal was important. We just felt it gave you a real platform to build on, wasn't it? Because you've been under the cosh light before, like you got the free kick scored, and you see it go up another level after that.
Yeah, and I mean, what people don't see behind the scenes is that these players have got WhatsApp messages on a Saturday afternoon, on a Saturday morning, saying that the game's off, and we've had to end up running them and in the right way, and they've never complained. We ask them to do 10 runs, they do 11 runs, and that is the team spirit, the squad spirit that we've got, and I think it shows in the air. We're having to drag Jack Stockdale off at the end and literally drag him off the pitch. Tom Corner, he's not even at full fitness yet. Obviously got him on. We've brought him in from Tadcaster, Marcus Day from Harrogate. So there's players that haven't reached full fitness yet, and they're putting in performances like that.
people have been saying to me, they're shocked at where Ossie Albin are. But I mean, I said tonight to people, basically, you've had a lot of turnover of players, but also, like you said, you've had disruption, you've had like one game off, then you've had 2 weeks off, and I suppose that's not helped because you've got four games in hand on the teams above you, haven't you? So I suppose that'll help when you get a consistent run of games, won't you?
Well, there's a couple that we've got five in hand, and you know, if I'm honest, we haven't really been looking at the results that have been going on and around us, and sometimes people have messaged me saying, oh, so-and-so is lost, and to be honest, I'm not that interested because, like I said, you know, we brought in James Knowles, who's been absolutely fantastic in the last two games. You know, Big Derek, who's coming today, who I thought was fabulous. I think the whole team today showed how close-knit we are. And yet, games being called off hasn't helped us, but it's actually helped the squad grow closer together, which is, you know, for us it's an exciting thing going into what is now the last 13 games.
Talking of exciting, obviously the merger, it's happening. The ground's still going to be here, I believe, but going to be used as 3G, so it's potentially could use it if the games at Ingfield are off, but you're going to be merged with Cumhosset United and play at Ingfield, and it's exciting times for both clubs, and the town seems to have embraced it as well.
Yeah, I think there were some Ossett Town fans in the crowd tonight, and the merger's, you know, I think it's massive for Ossett. I think as both clubs now moving forward, you'd hope we'd be getting 600-700 fans a game, possibly more. You know, we've got the academy down here, UNITA Academy, which is you know, which obviously I'm academy manager of, heavily involved, and that's building week on week. So to get this as a 3G venue, which it will become, I think it's going to become a real hub for football and a real sports hub for this area.
Is that the plan, for it to become almost a league club and have a league club in this area, in Wakefield and the surrounding area, because it's not got one?
Yeah, I think that's the overall goal. How long it takes us will determine, will depend on pretty much how hard we're going to work behind the scenes. And I think you see today, we're going into a game here, and let's be honest, I think everyone was probably not even looking at what the result was going to be. They were expecting Hyde to win it, but what they don't see is, you see myself, Phil Smith, the owners behind the scenes, the players behind the scenes, working very, very hard to keep this football club in the division, to get it set for the merger in the summer.
Excellent. Well, best of luck for the rest of the season. Cheers.
So a big thank you there to Luke Edwards from 26-0. That was Andy Welsh, manager at Ossett Albion.
I think that's a showing term for the players of what they want, what they need to do to stay with the club next year. That was what a fantastic result that was. And it just blows the title, not the title race, but the playoff race wide open. We're back to where we were a couple of weeks ago. We could have a four-horse race again. Bamber Bridge, yeah, granted, need a little bit of help to get into it, but the league is wide open at this moment in time.
That's Division 1 North. What about Division 1 South? And last week, we said on the Division 1 show, on the monthly show, that the playoffs were pretty much nailed on, and then they're not anymore. So it's so wide open, Division 1 South, when it comes to the playoffs. Stamford aren't completely in the playoffs, neither a League Town, neither a Chase Town. And actually, our next guest is Sam Wilkinson from Lincoln United, because Lincoln United have gone on a five-game undefeated streak now in the league, which sees themselves 10 points behind League Town, and they've got three games in hand. Lincoln United putting the pressure on. Let's hear now from Sam Wilkinson. Here he is. I caught up with him on Friday lunchtime. Welcome back to the show, Sam. First things first, a big congratulations for that 4-1 win against Sheffield FC. And congratulations as well for the superb run you're on. It's cracking stuff at the moment at Lincoln.
Yeah, cheers, Ben. Thanks, mate. It's been a real good turnaround. Not showing that consistency all season, really. We've pumped the games where we'd maybe go win three, then lose three. You know, we've never done this amount of games without getting beat. So it's really good. You know, massive credit to the players for stepping up and doing it so far.
And at this stage of the season, the runs come at the right stage of the season. I mean, Lincoln United sitting in 10th position at the moment. Where are you now where you're thinking about what you can do in the closing stage of the season? Is it just, I don't know what you're going to say already, take every game, take each game as it comes and see where you get up to? Yeah, okay, go on.
Yeah, that is it, mate, really. You know, we're not looking any further at the minute than, you know, I've got to say, I take each game at a time. who knows, if we can win the next three or four, we might be able to look at it in a different way. But at this minute in time, you know, the park look a million miles away, in all honesty. So if we take our recent form as in the last 10 games, you know, we won't get enough points to get anywhere near. So in 4 games' time, you never know, we can win 3, draw 1, and a couple of other teams, you know, to report, then we might be able to have a little look at it. But we just want to finish as high as possible and try to get similar sort of points than what we got last year, which was 65.
Just to talk about last season, I mean, Lincoln United had a cracking season last season. This season in Division 1 South, it has been a very strange season. Obviously, I think Basford United have skewered it somewhat, but then you've got the likes of Alva Church, and then you had the Cleeforts points deduction. What have you made of the competition in Division 1 South this season?
Yeah, I mean, apart from Basford, I don't think there's too much in the division in all fairness. You know, a lot of our games have been real fine margins and tight games. And also we've played the bottom teams who we struggled to beat at times as well. You know, Romney has beat us. Apart from Sheffield the other night, we've really found it hard. You know, we're sure that was not a lot of difference between the top. And it proves that if you just put a bit of a run together, you can soon climb the table and look at it in a different way.
And obviously this weekend, you're travelling up north to take on Frickley Athletic, and this is a tough game, but you know, you're in good form at the moment. This is one of those games which is a good measure of where Lincoln United are going to be up to in the next few weeks or so, I feel.
Yeah, you know, it's probably the toughest game on this run, in all fairness. You know, they're a good side, especially at home. They can play both ways, and they can look to try to play, but they can also go pretty directly be up to the big striker, Alex. So, you know, we're going to have to do our best in loads of ways about it. We beat them at home, so, you know, we are looking forward to it. And like I say, it's a big test. There's not really that much pressure on us, you know, because we're 10th in the league at the minute. And obviously, we would put pressure on the players to get a result, but we're hopefully going to go there and give it a go. And, you know, we are full of confidence at the minute, and we do believe on a day that we can beat anybody. So if we are somewhere near a best, I do think we've got a chance.
So that's Lincoln United manager Sam Wilkinson there joining us. Still hold to play for in all three divisions, and that's what makes it very, very exciting, James. Just before you go, League Cup, what's been going on?
So we're finally getting some games underway. It's got taking place tonight, the FA Vars replay from last year. Cleeforts is playing South Shields. So a quick run through the quarterfinal drawing. It's Colville against Mickleover. The winners of Scarborough Raptors will be travelling to Ramsbottom. The winners of tonight's game will be going up to Workington. And then we've got Hensford Town against Basford as the quarterfinal. Hensford Town against Basford as the fourth quarterfinal. All of them must be taking place in the next week or so. And obviously, very quickly as well, Basford can seal a playoff spot this weekend as well. Finally.
Okie dokie. We all remember those seasons on Championship Manager where you were waiting for the PL to appear next to your name in the league table. That was momentous times, and that could happen this weekend with Basford. So best of luck. Just before you go, James, any bits of housekeeping, or is that everything?
That's everything I can think of at this moment in time.
Well, James Hayes, a big thank you for joining us. You keep up the good work, and we'll speak to you soon.
All right, speak to you soon, mate.
And a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show. Just a mention for that Integro League Cup third round match on Thursday night between Cleeforts Town and South Shields. It finished Cleeforts Town 0, South Shields 2. So South Shields progressing to the quarter final stage. But it's now time to look at the Premier Division. And in joining us now down the other end of the phone, we're now joined lovingly by the welcome return of the loveliest podcast producer from the northeast of England. It's Mark Carruthers. Hello, Mark. How are you?
Hi. I think I'm pretty much the only podcast producer from the northeast, so I'll take that.
It still counts. It all counts, my friend. Yeah, it all counts. Right. just before we get talking about the football, I think it'd be good to get your view, because last week we had on the monthly show, we had a good debate about the reorganisation of the non-league pyramid, and obviously it does affect the Northern League, and I feel really bad as the producer of the NPL show that we didn't have a single person with a Northumberland accent on the show, and therefore it'd be good to get your opinion on the restructure from a North East perspective, because obviously Swampy last week had a good old rant about the travelling aspect. What's your view on it all?
Yeah, well, I think the main argument being put forward by the Northern League is that of travel. I mean, if you take, for example, Morpeth Town are looking as if they're going to win the league this year, so we'll have to take promotion into the Eurostick North. Now, Morpeth is 20, 25 miles from Scotland. You know, it's not. It's going to be a long journey. So if they're going to places in the Midlands, you know, as they could do next year, or they will do next season, obviously the East-West split comes in. But you're looking at Morpeth going to somewhere like, say, for example, Peterborough Sports, I think, is a possible. That's a good 4 hours, 4.5 hour journey down there and back. So that's 9 hours out of a day. So I do get it. Obviously, players travelling further will need the wages put up to kind of compensate for that. Some won't be able to travel, so some will, I guess, move back into the Northern League, where the furthest travel will be sort of Gisborough or Penrith, if Penrith do stay in the Northern League, which is still to be decided, I think. So I get the argument from the Northern League, and, you know, working up here and being around these clubs, there is genuine concerns that some clubs, who I could name, if they are forced to go into the Rustic North, could go to the wall because the finances aren't there at the clubs. And there seems to be this common fallacy about the Northern League, that every club is, you know, rich and every club is paying massive wages. And it's not true. Some of them are. I'm not going to deny that. There are some clubs paying out what I would class as Eurostick Premier wages. But there are a lot of them, and some that are in the promotion push at the moment, or the title push, that aren't paying out big wages.
Isn't there an argument to say, and I think we covered it last week as well, the fact that this is going to be an initial shock, but over the course of time, we are going to see slowly but surely, I think, a step five, which is going to be not just a Northern step five, but also a North Yorkshire step five as well, in a way, because you're going to have more teams coming over to make up the numbers as seasons go by. Plus, as well, you're going to have Northern teams at step four as well. So it is kind of going to balance out over a period of time.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the FA have always said that they've got an idea of the structure that they want in place, which is, you know, step one will have obviously the one league, the National League, then step two will have two leagues, then 4 and 8 and 16. So it is a genuine pyramid. But I think the concern is that because of the strength of the Northern League, that a lot of clubs are going to be promoted from Division One and go into the Eurostick North and possibly aren't going to be relegated. So then you've got to find those clubs to replenish the Northern League, and they'll come from the feeder leagues, which are the Wearside, the Teesside League, and the Northern Alliance. It will weaken the Northern League, but it's fascinating to see what's going to happen over the next few years. I still think the Northern League will still be a strong league because there's so many good clubs and so many good players around in the area.
And the other thing we should say as well is, just like you touched upon there, there's still going to be players in the North East who aren't going to want to travel, who'll just move to another Northern club. So I don't think it's going to necessarily detract too much from the quality on offer in the Northern League. It's going to be an interesting time anyway. And I'm pretty sure we'll cover it again and again and again over the next 18 months or so. Let's look at the Premier Division now. And I've always wanted to say this phrase on the radio, but I've never found the opportunity to say it. I don't actually know what it actually technically means, because I just thought it was something that you put jam in. But just ever so slightly, Altrincham, the title, the door has been left ajar. Ajar. I've always wanted to say that. Yes. 6 points the gap between Altrincham and Warrington. Altrincham are taking on Stalybridge Celtic this weekend, while Warrington Town are taking on Grantham Town. Firstly, Matt, do you accept my proposal that the title race is still on, maybe?
Well, firstly, congratulations on this, the word ajar. Well done. But it's, I think it's given others a slight hint of a chance. But I would still make Altrincham heavy favourites. I think, realistically, you're looking at Shaw Lane having to win all of the games in hand and probably win both games against Altrincham. I just think, you know, the working game was a slip-up, no more than that, and I think they'll recover from it. You look at the Altrincham squad, there's so much quality in there, a very, very good management team. And they're always going to score goals. Obviously, Jordan Hulme's having a great season. Josh Hancock, you know, pitching in with 14, I think he's got this season. I just think Altrincham have got that much quality that they will win at least one of those games against Shore Lane. I don't think they'll have too many slip-ups. I certainly don't think they'll slip up this weekend. And I think I still think they'll go up.
And just to touch upon that important match as well between Warrington and Grantham Town. Warrington, I think, comfortably in the playoffs now. It's going to take a lot to get them out of there. 9 points in there. That said, Grantham Town do have a game in hand. They're the team in sixth at the moment. So a win for Grantham Town this weekend against Warrington. They're back in.
You could argue that anyone down to Workington could make the playoffs. I would say that would probably be the cut-off point. Grantham, again, I think I say this every time we come on. We always expect them to slip away out of the playoff push, but this season they just aren't. They're always there. They've obviously got a very, very good striker in Lee Shaw, who's still buying the goals in, even though they've hit a little bit of a blip. But I think, I think Warrington will win this one at home, you know, in front of what will no doubt be a good crowd. I can see Warrington establishing themselves in the playoffs with a win there.
And the playoff race is really heating up at the moment. It's amazing that last week we basically said on the show Witten Albion was the line. You've now said Workington is still the line. So that victory midweek was very, very important at keeping that light flickering for Workington. Yep. Witten Albion will be hosting Shore Lane this weekend. That's a big, big game. A big, big game in deciding if Witten Albion are going to last this race.
It's huge, isn't it? I can almost feel Simo's nerves from up here. I've no doubt he'll be nervous. But no, it's a huge game for Witten, and I think, you know, they've done so well this year to hang on the coattails of the playoff contenders. And I still think they've got a great chance of making a couple of games in hand on some above them. But what a tough game it's going to be against Shore Lane, who are having a great season. You know, had some notable cup results as well as being remarkably consistent in the league. I'm going to sit on the fence with this one. I think it'll be a 1-1 draw.
And we mentioned the fact that, you know, Altrincham slipped up midweek, and for Warrington, unfortunately for them, they couldn't capitalise fully, only a 0-0 draw against Stafford Rangers. How much is Ashton United kicking themselves with that 2-1 home defeat to Colville Town midweek as well? They'll be looking to bounce back this weekend with a match against Stourbridge away from home. That's a tricky game, a very tricky game on paper.
It is, in terms of that defeat in midweek, it kind of says to me that they've just taken their eye off the ball a bit. And I think sometimes there's a tendency to look at games and think, yeah, that's almost a gimme, you know, to use a golfing phrase where you can just turn up and win the game. And, you know, they've been caught out with that one. As you say, a win there would have put them on 61 points, just three behind Warrington. And Stourbridge won't be an easy game either. I think they haven't really hit the heights that people thought they would this season. I think it's pretty much, you know, pretty obvious to say that. Sat below mid-table at the moment. But they've still got a lot of very good players in that squad. A very talented manager who's vastly underrated in my eyes. But I think this weekend Ashton may just have a little bit too much for them.
And there's also Farsley Celtic are still very much in this playoff race. As long as, you know, they keep getting results, they've played a fair few games more than everyone else around them, but they don't have to cram in the fixtures. And Farsley Celtic this weekend will be travelling to Matlock Town. They've just got to keep winning, haven't they? And hope that everyone with the games in hand just it starts to pile up the pressure on them.
Yeah, it's a funny way to look at it, I guess, with Farsley, because they've got the points in the bank, haven't they? They've got, you know, they are sat in the last playoff spot. But then you look around them and you see Grantham have got three games in hand, Shore Lane above them have got six games in hand. And I think that the least anyone's got is, actually, they've got a game in hand on Barwell. So, but the vast majority of clubs around them do have games in hand. So there's pressure on those clubs to get results, but you would expect the quality of the sides around them that will pick up. So Farsley, for me, are the ones in danger of kind of slipping out of the race, purely because I don't think they made the most of the games that they've played. It is going to be a difficult game this weekend. Matlock's never an easy place to go. Again, Matlock not performing to where people thought they would this season. But I can see Farsley coming away. I think they've got enough quality in the side and enough strike power to get a result there.
You mentioned Barwell, and Barwell, obviously, they had that big game against Warrington, and that was by no means a gimme. And I'm pretty sure Jimmy Ginnelly's just gone, right, that game's done and dusted. We move on now. Barwell are hosting Lancaster City this weekend. But to move on, they have to get a victory here, I feel, because of the pressure of the race that's going on around them.
I think with Barwell, you're looking at every game now is must win, because I think any slip up and you know, the sides around them will make them pay for it. One thing I will say, I think Jimmy is, again, I said it earlier about Stourbridge, but I think Jimmy is one of the most underrated managers in the Evo Stick League. I don't think he gets the credit that he deserves for the job he's done at Barwell, which isn't a big club. You know, it's a great setup, but it's not a traditionally big club. Brought through some very, very talented players. I do quite often mention Brady Higgy, who obviously went in and eaten in his back. With the experience Jimmy has, he's been around the scene a lot. He's the reason why they could stay in that playoff race, because he knows the players inside out. He knows the league inside out. And I can see them getting a win this weekend, I've got to be honest.
You know, you've said it's down to Workington. So Workington against Buxton, yeah, is therefore, it's a must win. It has to be a must win now. We're running out of games, aren't we? And also, I'm going to throw in Hensford into this conversation as well. If Hensford were playing, they are. Hensford taking on Marine this weekend. Two very, very important games for those sides on the periphery of the playoff race.
It is, yeah, and in terms of Hensford, Marine have obviously got their own reasons to want to to want to win that game, so that's not going to be easy. Working, I think obviously those two games in hand could be key. They've got two games down on a few of the sides above them, but I think with Working, again, a little bit like I said with Barwell, I think every game now they have to take something from. It's not going to be possible to win every game between now and the end of the season, but they do need to win the vast majority of them. They are the cut-off for me, and purely because of that result in midweek, and I think that'll give them the confidence, it'll give them a bit of belief that they can really kick on. It's not going to be an easy game. We know what Buxton can offer. Again, another side who haven't really done what we thought would this season, but they've got enough quality at Buxton to really trouble Working, and the top scorer in the league as well, we shouldn't forget, Liam Hardy. So I think Working will win, but purely out of desperation.
That victory for Marine against Hensford, because it's like a return fixture, isn't it? That was an important victory for Marine. I think there was a bit of concern on the MPL show last week about Marine not quite pulling away as quickly as they need to. But I think that's pretty much done and dusted now, isn't it? It's sort of Coldfield and Hales. Owen aren't going to claw that back, are they, I don't think?
You'd be surprised when you look at Marine's last two results. I've been beating Lancaster 3-0 as well.
Yes.
You know, you say that the win last Saturday was a great win against Hensford, and I think a few new signers settled in really well at Marine and just kind of kicked them away from the bottom two. You'd be surprised, wouldn't you, if Hales Owen or Sutton Coldfield managed to catch the sides above them. So I think Marine probably are just about safe. I think they'd probably like one or two more wins just to, you know, make it almost mathematically certain, which it's not going to be for a while yet, but you'd be surprised. But Marine, again, keep saying that people like Danny Mitchell, you know, who've been around this level for a long time, they're always going to trouble sides, and I think the belief of the last few days will help them.
And then let's talk about Hales Owen and Sutton Coldfield. Sutton Coldfield this weekend will be hosting Michelover Sports, whilst Hales Owen are travelling to Nantwich Town. Now, on paper, and I fully appreciate, dear listener and managers listening at home, that football isn't played on paper. On paper, I would suggest that Sutton Coldfield have got a good opportunity this weekend to claw the gap back to Hales Owen. They've said it.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Mark said it, so therefore Mark said it too. Wasn't just me.
There's no reason why they couldn't get a win against Michelover. Then you look at the other side of it, you look at Hales Owen. It's not going to be easy going to Nantwich. It never is. You know, the style of football Nantwich play, they're never easy to face. So I'll probably suggest that you are quite right. That Sutton Coldfield could close the gap.
But this is where the goal difference comes into it, because they need more than just one win, don't they? They need a win and a draw, yeah, at least. So that's the key there. Just to finish off with a couple of fixtures that really, in all fairness, they don't really do much to the league table. Whitby Town hosting Rushall Olympic, and we've also got Stafford Rangers against Colville. Those two matches there, anything to add for them?
Yeah, I think in terms of Whitby, they'll be disappointed with how the seasons went. I think when you looked at the players that they brought in last summer, you know, the quality that they have in the squad and what they've added throughout the season, they'll be disappointed that they are sat, you know, just above the kind of bottom three. I don't think it's been good enough for Whitby, but I can see them build again this summer, and I think they'll win on Saturday. A few quality additions have come in recently, people that Chris Hardy brought in. And I can see them kicking on next season. I'm not sure if they'll challenge the playoffs, but I certainly don't think they'll be where they are at the moment.
Well, Matt Carruthers from the North East podcast, a big thank you for joining us. Just a quick plug for all your work and what's coming up over the next 7 days or so, which might be of interest to our listeners.
Well, in terms of we're recording the North East Football podcast tonight, which will be a big preview of the FA Vars and FA Trophy semi-finals. Obviously, there's North East interest in both competitions. Gateshead will play Bromley in the FA Trophy. And then we've got a Teesside derby, Mask, against Stockton Town in the FA Vars, which is a game I'll be at on Saturday. We have live commentary of both legs of the FA Vars semi-final, so that'll be interesting. Then we hopefully end down to Wembley in May for finals day, hopefully supporting two North East sides, because I'm hoping Gateshead get through as well. In terms of my own work, I'm in the process of putting together a big interview with Paul Brayson, the former Northwich Victoria striker. He's a bit of a cult hero over there by all accounts, but at the age of 40, he's still scoring goals for Newcastle Benfield in the Northern League. Just scored his 40th goal of the season last night, which is remarkable. A big sort of feature interview with him about his career and how he started out at Newcastle and what he's done in non-league football. So plenty coming up. I'm also doing bits for the non-league paper as well every week. So, yeah, stuff happening all over the place.
How can people follow you?
Follow on Twitter. It's Mark Carruthers _ on there. If you want to follow the podcast as well, it's at NEF Podcast.
And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's show. A big, big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me, especially Matt Carruthers of the North East Football Podcast, and of course, James Hayes. And a big thank you to the media teams at Marine and at Workington, and also a big thanks to Luke Edwards at 26-0 for providing that interview with us at Albion's Andy Welsh earlier. But that's it for this week's Evo Stick NPL show. Just a bit of a disclaimer before you set off on Saturday. Just in case there's some blizzard or a hurricane or something, please do check outside your window before setting off on Saturday morning. And for all the latest news and goings-on in the world of the Northern Premier League, check the website evostickleague.co.uk. You can also follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. But that's it for this week's Evo Stick NPL Show. I've been Ben, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Evo Stick Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.